Hello and welcome to Healthy Bloomington with Dr. Andry. I am Dr. Matt Andry, a family physician here in Bloomington, Indiana. And on this program, we talk about issues of health and medicine, and we try to introduce people to the healthcare providers and the people that help take care of us here in our community. And with me today, it's very special because they work with our sponsor, Cardon, who we're very happy to partner with, and they're very instrumental in this community, taking care of literally thousands of people. And if we talk about extenders, it's even more than that, and not just in this county, but many others around us. And with us today is Kathy
Barzalaskas,
I knew I was going to mess that up, who is a nurse manager at Beltrace.
Yes.
And Danny Arnold,
yep.
Who is the director of community engagement for Beltrace as well. And Beltrace is one of our extended care facilities here in Bloomington. And thanks both for coming. I appreciate having you.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the services that you all provide, well, number one, how would we function anymore in this day and age without them?
You can't. The aging community is growing.
Yep.
And hospitals are not keeping patients as long.
That's right.
So there has to be a middle ground between hospital and home.
That's right. And in the old days, I mean, one, there weren't a lot of services to provide for people, and people did it in their homes.
Right.
But now we don't have extended families to that
exactly.
degree with the ability to do it. So
exactly.
this fills it's not just a medical care, it's a social niche without
yeah.
which we don't know how we'd function.
Right.
So, and, you know, we could talk about so many things, but I wanted to introduce people to Beltrace. Many people will know it because they've had family or friends or themselves have been there. But you do more, I mean, the term nursing home really doesn't apply to what you are. Could you explain well what Beltrace is?
Beltrace is what we like to consider the full continuum of care. So we have two sides to our 15-acre campus. We have our building that houses assisted living and independent living apartments, and along with some cottage homes that surround. And then next door we have our skilled nursing side. So it's the whole gambit of long-term care.
And there on the campus, the assisted living part, I mean, you've got some very nice homes, apartments that people
that are either independent or assisted, meaning that nursing will come in, housekeeping will come in and assist those people. So those apartments have monitoring going on
mm-hmm.
so that families can feel safe. The independent apartments and the cottages, people live on their own, but they're able to take advantage of the services in the assisted living campus.
And they don't have to go far to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have our own on-campus home health company that's based out of Beltrace. So we have 24/7 urgent care no matter what.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. One of the places that my clients have used you guys probably more than a lot of others has been the short-term rehab.
Mm-hmm.
When is it appropriate, or what kind of patients do you see that use those services?
We see a lot of total joint replacements. We'll see post-op cardiac surgeries, post-op any kind of difficult surgery that those patients just are not strong enough to go home yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to have maybe a month's worth of rehab to get them back. We'll see a lot of exacerbation of COPD patients.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, we hope that by going in the hospital and then coming to us, we can work with them and kind of teach them what they should do to avoid getting back to the hospital. The same with CHF patients.
Uh-huh.
We see a lot of diabetics. We'll see a lot of people that have really involved wounds that might
okay.
be getting IV antibiotics for 3 months.
Maybe something that's open and needs
right.
care
right.
or packing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see those. We'll see.
So really, I mean, you serve as kind of a bridge between
yeah.
the acute hospital setting
right.
and the person really going home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, when people move out to their home, a lot
mm-hmm.
of times they may still need nursing, home nursing assistance. Is that right?
We plan their discharge from the day they come to us.
Ah.
So we're knowing what kind of home they have, what kind of support system they have.
Mm-hmm.
We might do therapy. We'll do a home assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any home modifications, we let them know what those are. We arrange with all the different home health services, and we have patients from Orange County and Lawrence County and all over. So
sure.
We work with all the home health agencies, no matter where the patient lives.
Yep.
And all the pharmacies, we mm-hmm. arrange for their prescriptions before they go home. We arrange for home health. We make sure they have follow-ups with their doctors.
Sure.
Transportation. And we do. This is kind of the interesting, I think, one of the nice plugs of Beltrace is we have our own transportation. So any doctor's appointment for these acute patients that have to be followed by their doctors, we take
them. You can get them there.
Yep.
Yep.
It's no charge. If they have appointments for radiation or at the wound center or just to their family doctor, chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have patients there for chemotherapy that just are too weak to be at home.
Yep.
And still require chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
They can think of Beltrace as kind of the respite kind of
sure.
place. They'll get their 3 square meals, they'll
yep.
get a nice rest,
yep.
and we take them to chemo.
I think one thing that, you know, is hard for patients is that they have the view of a facility, you know, like mm-hmm. Beltrace as, gosh, this is just where somebody's dumping me off and they don't know what to do with me. But your rehab patients go home.
Exactly. Yeah. And they want to go home quickly.
And they want to go home quickly. And
yeah.
But they need that intermediate care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a level that, number one, we used to do that, most of that care in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
but we no longer have payers.
Right.
That
it's not available anymore.
That's right. And we've also recognized that the longer people are in the hospital,
The sicker they get. Yeah.
From infections and so forth. And that is a little bit of a risk in facilities, but it's not as much as the
right.
as the hospital.
Right.
At least that's been my experience
yeah.
or the literature that I know of. When patients do come, and let's say that they come from the hospital, one of the things you said off the air here that was very interesting is that it would be nice if people understood the level of acuity that you all do take
right.
care of.
Yeah. We have patients currently that if the payers were still covering this in a hospital, these people would be in progressive care.
Mm.
They would
wow.
be in a step-down unit.
Okay.
I mean, that's how serious they are.
That's not even just the regular floor.
No.
That's between there and ICU.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, these are getting 24/7 skilled nursing, IV antibiotics, monitoring their blood pressures, their blood sugars, wound care. We do TPN, peritoneal nutrition through a
mm-hmm.
subclavian. We do tube feedings,
uh-huh.
colostomy care, wound vacs, which are for very deep, serious wounds where it's a negative pressure
sure.
wound treatment.
Sure.
We have wound nurses, myself and the other nurse manager, Robin Meadows, we are both wound associates, which
mm-hmm.
is just a step below being certified by the Wound Care Society.
And you all have therapists of every discipline.
Absolutely.
That come through.
You know, the physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy really drive the acute and the rehab section.
Hmm.
They're the ones that set the plan for when these people are going to be ready to go home. They work with them. They do the home assessments.
Yeah.
They are the ones that monitor the cognition of the patient. Are they really going to be able to understand what they need to do when they go home?
Sure.
Our average age is probably 70,
mm-hmm.
75.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, currently we have 50-year-olds, a 40-year-old, I think.
Yeah, we've had 20-year-olds.
We've had 20-year-olds,
really?
Post-strokes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You don't like to see those,
no.
but they do happen.
And they're getting better.
And they get better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's an important distinction to make. I even think when I started in practice, I had a certain view of a rehab center, you know, as a nursing home. It's a place you went to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that does happen. But I totally underestimated until I got into practice for a while how it was a place to heal.
Right.
When people do come, and especially if they're in a more acute place.
Mm-hmm.
How do you all decide when you need something more? When they need to go to the hospital, things that you can't do for them?
It's a nursing assessment and working with our medical directors.
Mm-hmm.
We have on-call physicians 24/7. We have rounds by the medical director and a nurse practitioner 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. So there's always contact. And
that's more than I think most people would think.
Yeah. But we're always in contact. And if they're, even if they have their own private physician,
yeah,
that's not part of, that they want to be followed instead of by our medical director, that's fine too.
And we
have a multiple variety of physicians that make rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a nursing assessment, just like in the hospital. If their vital signs are critical, if mm-hmm. their labs are critical, we report it and we get them out to the hospital.
And you all, I think, do a fantastic job about doing that. I mean, I've been called at times where it was necessary for the patient, not necessarily convenient for
right.
me, but that's when they needed it.
Right.
And I was grateful that someone was watching it, even if the time wasn't perfect,
right.
but we got people the care they needed.
Yeah. The nice thing, the interesting thing to me too, is that all of our nursing staff, whether you work on more of the long-term section or there's kind of a middle rehab section where they're going to be long-term, like the strokes and some of the CHFs, and then we have the short-term, the joints and the really in and out, get your rehab, let's get you home. All of those nurses across that spectrum can handle any of the patients.
Hmm.
So it doesn't matter what section you're in. And right now we're at a capacity that we have acute patients throughout the building mm-hmm. just for bed availability.
Really?
Yeah.
Does the census, the number of patients that you see go up and down a lot, or
yeah.
does it stay pretty steady?
It goes up and down.
Very much so.
flu season.
Right. Flu season. joint season, before and after holidays.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants to have their joints done it during the holidays.
No.
But then there's always the comorbidity patients with diabetes and heart problems and, maybe cancer, all those things. Those patients are always going to be, regardless of what time of year it is.
Sure.
Flu season gets us a lot, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Flu will take it out of an elderly person or somebody with comorbidities very quickly.
You mentioned, and something I probably important to talk about, I think, for me, COPD. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing I underestimate, but you're very right. again, in this day and age with Medicare and their rules, hospitals have to be even more careful than they used to about when they admit people and also
mm-hmm.
about when they send them out. Because if people go right back to the hospital,
right.
they don't get paid.
Right, right. Because
they said, you sent them out too early. So I would presume that they're using you all more and more.
Right.
But things like COPD, it's really hard to assess. Someone can look fine and then they get up and try to go to the restroom and next thing you know,
yeah.
they're really out of breath.
Acute respiratory failure is a huge thing that we watch for. These people can just really get sick very, very quickly. For those patients, we're not going to change their habits. They've been living with this for a while. So
yeah.
it's just like a lot of diabetics. We're not going to actually change their habits. We're just going to kind of guide them in a way that will keep them
sure.
alert to what they need to know before they get to the point that they call the ambulance and go to the hospital.
Right. I think another thing people worry about if they're going to these places is that their families will forget about them. But that doesn't happen.
Absolutely not. It's a very social environment. Families visit. We have dining rooms where families can have celebrations if the resident at that time can't go out. But patients can come and go. They
yep.
can go out for ice cream or they can go out for, a family reunion or go out for the day. As long as they're back by midnight,
you were good.
We're good. And they get their medicine, but yeah.
Yeah, and the food's even pretty good.
It's not bad. And families can bring in food for their
Absolutely.
Clients. I mean, we've had some patients that are used to well water.
Yes.
Which is something this
Different
audience,
than city.
Yes. And they will bring bottles of well water in
wow.
for the patient.
Wow.
And they will drink more fluid, so it's A-okay with me.
How do you all go about deciding when someone is ready for a home environment or ready to go back?
If they can take care of themselves, if they can dress themselves, if they can ambulate in their house, If they can manage their medical problems, their medications,
mm-hmm.
know those things, then therapy, and they're strong enough, they can do it on a continued basis. Right. Therapy will actually work with them for climbing stairs, walking,
mm-hmm.
not just from here to the bathroom, but they have to do sustained walking.
Yes.
For a certain amount of distance. When they're able to do that and take care of themselves, bathe themselves, dress themselves,
they're ready to go.
We're welcome for them.
And kind of along those lines, we found that there's a market for, you know, there's a group of people that don't always fit the mold of, you know, when they're ready to go home or
yep.
or if they just need more care. So we've taken two of our suites over at the independent assisted living side
mm-hmm.
and turn those into fully furnished transition suites that
Oh really?
Yeah. So it's a private pay type of scenario.
Uh-huh.
It's you know, it's outside of any insurance realm, and basically it's a way for us to provide 24/7 nursing care, 3 meals a day, and just general oversight of that patient while they recover, even if they don't fit the mold for insurance or hospital inpatient stays.
But they're really in a more of a home apartment living environment.
Yes.
And it's a nice transition because you don't ever want to tell somebody that they can't ever go home again.
Of course.
So
and you have to have those conversations.
Right. And if you can put them in a transition and let them see, oh, this is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do the grocery shopping. You know, I don't
right.
have to do the house cleaning. It is nice. It's a relaxing way to make that decision.
Sure.
If you have the time.
Well, and about when to go home. I mean, I know I've seen both in my practice. People that are chomping at the bit and they're not quite ready, but they're ready to go yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also seen people that are nervous about getting back home and they're not sure they can make it there. One thing I think that's important, and I always tell my patients, is that, you know, this is not a unilateral decision.
Right.
There's a lot of people that have input about that. Everyone from family to the therapist, to the nursing staff, mm-hmm. to the physicians. And they really come to, would you say that there's kind of a committee approach to
Oh,
that.
Absolutely. And the patient drives that. We'll have care plan meetings within the first week of their stay just to tell them what's progressing and what we expect and what they should, you know, see what their expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's closer to discharge, we all gather again, and that's therapy, that's insurance, that's social service, nursing. We all come together with that patient and say, okay, this is what you need to do. This is where you are. It may mm-hmm. be a couple more weeks, or it's time. And if they're not ready, we try to figure out why they're not ready.
Sure. And then sometimes it's going back to square one.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the problem that brought them there, but it may be other problems that have developed medically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You had mentioned that, you know, the way you really decide when somebody's ready to go is when they can take care of themselves,
mm-hmm.
their feeding, their hygiene, mm-hmm. bathroom care, and so forth. Is that also how it's decided when people are ready to go into an extended care facility when they've been at home?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people listening, they may not be thinking about for themselves particularly, but they're thinking about for loved ones and family
mm-hmm.
members, maybe as they're getting older. But what I'm thinking about is how would they know who to ask about when a loved one is maybe needing additional help over
what
they've had?
They need to start with their family practice physician or a support system. Usually the family or neighbors are the first to notice, hey, they're
mm-hmm.
not getting their mail. The family may see that they're not always taking their medicine, that there's a bottle that's still full after 2 weeks.
Right.
Or if they're setting up their medicine, they're not taking them, their refrigerator's empty.
Mm-hmm.
Their hygiene isn't as good. They're afraid to get in the bathtub, so they're doing, you know, sink baths.
Yep.
Or they're not moving as much around the house. They're in bed. Or
right.
in the living room.
And that's it.
And that's it. So they need to have that conversation with that person first.
That's
and say,
right.
hey, do you feel scared?
Right. Well, and some of our family members can be very sneaky.
Yeah.
About how well they can hide.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Their abilities.
They're masters at it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And, but we also have professionals who can, who are available and who will do assessments mm-hmm. of somebody's home environment. We also, I think, get to sometimes black and white, thinking either right. someone, well, they're okay for home or they need to be in a different facility. But often there are a lot of simple adjustments people can make at home
exactly. yeah.
that make help keep them there.
And you can always bring home health into the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, the family doctor can always ask for a referral to home health. Home health will go in, a nurse will assess the situation. You can have social services, you can have a psych nurse, you can have therapy, and you can have a home health aide.
Yes.
That will come in. You know, it's limited by insurance, so it's not 24/7.
Right.
But you can have somebody in that house at least 4 days a week.
Sure.
At some point.
And if you don't know if the person has a diagnosis for what that's reasonable, insurance will pay for the assessment.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I think this is a brilliant place to start. We're going to do more programs like this. This type of care, I think, as our like every community, we have a significant aging population who, for needing extended care services, but also just they get sicker.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to need hip replacements and joint work and you know, help recovering from various health ailments. But I think the more people know about the facilities that are available and the services that there are, the less fear we can all have about using them when it comes
Absolutely.
Time. Absolutely.
It's just a bridge.
Just a bridge. That's right. That's very good. Well, Danny, what things do you want people to know about Beltrace in terms of your philosophy and what you think is important?
Well, you know, I think the most important thing we want to share is that we are here to help. So, you know, if there are questions people have, if there are unanswered, you know, there's just situations that people run into where they need some advice regarding aging, seniors, parents, things of that nature. We just want to be the recognized resource for seniors in the community.
And we have families that come and tour.
That's right.
Before anything is going on.
Right.
They come and say, my mom's going to have, you know, a hip joint
yep.
replaced.
Can we take a look at you
right,
and see what this
yeah,
is like?
Or, yeah. you know, mom's... It's not going to be too much longer before she can't stay home anymore.
Right.
And, you know, we want to look around and see how you can help us.
See if this is
so,
a fit.
Yeah.
That's we good. Don't bite. It's fine.
They really don't. They had plenty of chances sitting in this interview, and not once.
We don't trap you in the building once you get there. So, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy,
very
for being
welcome.
On here. And Danny,
thank you.
Appreciate it. And look forward to talking to you again
sure.
about
Be
this
happy
and
to.
Other issues. And thank you for joining us on Healthy Bloomington with Dr. Andrea.